Thank you, choir. And thank you, Sue Ellen. That was beautiful. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 7 and 11 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came back, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're on our fourth week now of our Lenten series, Journey of Faith, and we're ready to take the next step. We have started out this series with a recognition of sin and a need to trust God's authority and salvation. Then, after accepting God's provision for our salvation, God helps us to move more intentionally into his plan and purpose for each of us as fully devoted followers of Jesus. Last week, Our step of faith was in deciding if we are going to trust and obey God or complain about God by talking and acting as though God is not with us. Today's the day for moving on. We're ready to take our next step. And today, we're going to check our vision. Who do you look up to help you make your day-to-day decisions? Who do you turn to first when you need direction or advice? While many of us are familiar with physical limitations and even physical blindness, there is such a thing as spiritual blindness. Each and every one of us suffers from this vision impairment. No one is exempt from this blindness, and new glasses and a trip to the eye doctor won't fix this. Spiritual blindness has one cause, and that's sin. The remedy for spiritual blindness is to learn to trust God and to believe His word, the Bible. The Bible tells us that when Jesus walked this earth, He healed many people of many things, including blindness. But the real healing comes when we accept God's sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus, for our sins, and we believe that Jesus saves us from our sins. Only God can open our eyes to the fact that Jesus is for real. As you read through the Bible, when Jesus healed people, the physical healing was not the real miracle. Faith in God was the miracle. God still performs the miracle of putting faith in our hearts to believe in Him. Now, God does many different things and uses many different means to bring us to spiritual sight. Sometimes our sight comes with physical healings. Sometimes our spiritual sight comes with emotional healings. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just comes upon us and we find ourselves face to face with the Almighty God. And God personally opens our eyes. The point of the healings, the point of Jesus' ministry for 3 years, the point of our existence as the church is to point people to Jesus. Jesus, who can convict us of our sins and restore our spiritual sight. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, wonderful Almighty God, the lover of our souls, please send the Holy Spirit upon your church today. Open our eyes to see how serious you are about saving us from our sins. Amen. In the early years of my ministry, I met a man named Bill who was suffering with cancer. It was a slow, agonizing disease that ate away at his body. He was discouraged, and his family suffered right along with him. Bill was not an active part of that congregation, but he was a member, and he had many friends who were praying for him. One day when I was visiting him at the hospital, Bill asked me to pray for a miracle. I asked him why, and he explained that he wanted to see his daughter get married and enjoy many years of marriage with his wife. I told him that I would pray, but it would be up to God to provide the miracle. I also told him that he needed to decide if he would trust God no matter the outcome of the prayer. Bill responded to me that he believed in the power of prayer, and that surely if I prayed, and with so many other people praying, God would have to answer that prayer. I smiled and I said that prayer was not a good luck charm. It was not a lucky rabbit's foot or a genie's lamp that worked if one said things a certain way or had the preacher saying them or even had a whole bunch of people praying. I suggested to Bill that instead of believing in the power of prayer, he believe in the power of God who answers prayer. He nodded. He asked me to pray for a miracle, and I did. God gave Bill a miracle, and Bill lived for several more years. He saw his daughter and his son both get married. He and his wife had time to make some wonderful memories together. He had lots of opportunities to share with others what God had done for him. Bill never did. From the time he was healed until his funeral, Bill never came to church. He never publicly gave credit to God for the miracle he received. And every time I went back to visit, Bill brushed off all suggestions that God had anything to do with any kind of healing in his life. Bill received a physical healing, but Bill died separated from God. He died blind to his sins and blind to Jesus' offer of salvation. Matthew warned us, or Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, that there will be a day when Jesus returns to take his faithful followers home to be with him. That will be the day when our faith becomes sight. That will be the day when our spiritual vision is completely restored. But Jesus tells us, until that day happens, we are to be on guard. We are to watch and we are to wait. We are to keep our spiritual eyes wide open, to watch our words, to watch our attitudes, and to watch our actions as we wait for Jesus. That means that we are to be actively on the lookout for the return of Christ. Jesus will physically return. Do you believe this? Jesus will return in such a way that the Bible promises that every eye will see Jesus and recognize Jesus for who he is. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says this: "Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, whether they believe in Jesus or not. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, whether they ever acknowledged him or given credit to Jesus before or not. And it will all be to the glory of God the Father. That does not mean that everyone gets to go to heaven. It simply means that when Jesus returns, everyone, both living and dead, will see Jesus for who he is, and everyone, both living and dead, will give Jesus his due worship. And then the judgment will begin. Those who have set their sights and their lives and their hearts on Jesus and who have accepted Jesus' precious salvation for their sin, we will be welcomed into heaven. Our spiritual eyesight will become perfect. Who will we see? We will see Jesus face to face. Those who have rejected Jesus with words and lives and actions, and who have refused to look at the cross as the only way of salvation, They will go to their eternal separation from God. There's a song that was written in 1969 by a man named Larry Norman that sums up the words of Jesus that we heard in Matthew 24. The song's called "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died. The days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. If you're not familiar with that song, you can Google it and hear it. It's a powerful song. My prayer for you, as much as for myself, is that we all stay ready. That we all allow God to restore our spiritual sight. That we allow God to open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see Jesus and his love for each one of us and his love through us for others. Don't close your eyes and your heart to God's love or God's authority. If you feel like you are in spiritual blindness or darkness, make up your mind to not stay there. Get on board with God. Trust in God's words. Obey God's commands. I know I have to consider the life that I live and the words that I speak and the attitudes that I wear, and I have to consider them with the eyes of someone who is learning, who is watching, and watching me to learn from me how to be Christ-like. There are people who are watching you to learn how to be Christ-like. Hopefully, all of us are on that journey of practicing how to be Christ-like, both during the hard times as well as the good times. If you've received an answer to prayer, if you've received a healing of some sort, remember to publicly give God the credit for it. Thank the doctors and the nurses for the medical wisdom they have and for taking care of you, but give God the credit for the miracle. Allow Jesus to give sight to your soul and to continue to fill your heart with the joy that comes from trusting and respecting and worshiping the God of grace and mercy and love, whose plans for you are hope and the future is filled with his love. Who do people see when they look at you? I pray that they see Jesus in you. I pray that they see Jesus in me. In today's Old Testament lesson, God had to help his people with their vision. They had their sights set on a king. They had complained and demanded a king because all of the other nations had a king. And God chose Saul to be their king. Saul was tall and popular and good looking, and everyone was happy with God's choice of a leader for them. 1 Samuel 15, which is the chapter previous to what we read, 1 Samuel 15 says, Saul set his sights on his own desires and plans and was disobedient to God. And 1 Samuel 15 gives the details of Saul's rebellion. And so God decided to replace Saul and name another king in his place. And our scripture today in 1 Samuel 16 starts with God reprimanding the prophet Samuel. Samuel was taking this personally, and God reprimanded him and said, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. I have provided for myself a king from among the sons of Jesse." God was basically telling the prophet Samuel to trust God's authority and plan and not to try to look to other people for direction. A little bit later in the scripture, God told Samuel to not try and second guess God's choice for a next king. Jesse's sons were lined up, and as Samuel was considering the various sons of Jesse for the possibility of the next king, the one to replace Saul, Samuel hesitated at Jesse's son Eliab. And at his hesitation, God said, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." God chose David to be king and to replace King Saul. The Lord looks on the heart. Makeup covers a whole lot of things, but makeup won't cover my heart. I have to stop and think, when the Lord looks on my heart, what does God see? God's vision is a whole lot better than mine. And there are plenty of places in my heart that I would just as soon the Lord not look at. It's so easy to take my eyes off Jesus. It's so easy for me to look to someone else more than I look to Jesus. It's so easy for me to read the words of someone else in place of reading the words of Jesus. It's easier to ask someone else to explain Jesus to us than it is to pray and read the Bible and ask God to reveal himself to us. It's so easy to allow the voices in this world and in my feelings to dictate my actions and decisions. And I found that they will always lead me astray. It seems that the voices in this world and in our feelings are always yelling and even screaming at us and crying, "Unfair!" Those voices keep saying, "That's not fair." I found that if I take my eyes off of Jesus and start focusing on what is fair and what is not fair, I lose my spiritual sight. I lose my spiritual footing. I lose my spiritual sight because I've taken my eyes off Jesus. If you read through the Gospels, you'll read that Jesus told many stories about the difference between God's justice and man's justice. Sometimes we cry unfair at God's justice. We cry unfair that the prodigal son received the party while the faithful son was out working in the field. We cry unfair that the workers in the vineyard received the same pay whether they worked all day or only for an hour. In today's politics, we would cry unfair that Jesus killed an innocent fig tree to illustrate what would happen to us if we refused to bear the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. When I cry unfair, I'm looking at other people and comparing myself to other people. I need to look at Jesus and seek God's justice instead of man's justice. No one cries unfair that the King of Kings willingly and innocently came into this world to be killed by execution like some common criminal. Have you noticed that when we cry unfair, it's because it seems that someone else is getting what we want? That's called jealousy. I get jealous when it bothers me that somebody else gets what I want. I get jealous when it seems that someone is closer to God than I am. The devil was cast out of heaven because he was jealous of God. The devil has spiritual blindness, and we become spiritually blind when we allow ourselves to take our eyes off Jesus and become jealous of others. When a person becomes a Christian, they find out from Jesus that if life were based on our idea of what's fair, nobody would go to heaven. Nobody. The thief on the cross, the one thief on the cross, was given entrance to the kingdom of heaven because it was the King of Kings who decided what was fair. We gain entrance to the kingdom of God by humbling ourselves and asking Jesus to forgive us and take away our sins. Only when we reach the point of humbling ourselves and confessing our sins before Jesus will we truly become part of God's kingdom. And that's at Jesus' invitation. I don't know about you, but I've learned that I have to stay humble before God. That's why we observe Lent. We remember the price that Jesus paid. I remember the price that Jesus paid instead of complaining about the things going wrong in my life. That's the trick to staying humble, remembering that Jesus suffered and died in my place. God used an ugly cross to abolish the finality of death, and through that cross, God offers us peace and eternal life. Jesus is the wisdom and the justice and the power of God. Jesus is the King whose kingdom is bought with his own blood. Jesus is the only way to be reunited with God. God created the earth and the heavens and the universe through his word, and God's word is Jesus. I invite you to stand before the cross. Kneel before the cross. Who do you look up to? Open your eyes to see Jesus and his amazing love for you. That's all I have to say about that.